The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial advice in a language you can understand. More than almost 50 years. Yeah, since 1968, Dad started this business. He was doing one of the original financial planners in this country. Dad retired in 2007. I joined the firm in 1991, so I now own the company with my business partner, Marion Gilman. We serve individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area. I'm always amazed at the number of people that call the office following this show each and every week. I've met so many of you and continue to call, really. I mean, I think anybody will tell you that, you're sure, I take a lot of calls, field a lot of calls, talk to a lot of people. And you know what? Sometimes we find that when we talk, all you need is a piece of financial advice, a little thing that you might need, and I just give it to you over the phone. There's no cost or anything like that. That's crazy. But if it is time to get serious about your financial planning needs, especially if you're over age 55, you're thinking about retiring or you're entering retirement, now is a great time to get together with me to talk about your financial planning needs and how we can set you out down on a course that you can feel good about not running out of money. Because that's the big question that everyone's asking me. Can I do this and will I run out of money? Well, you need to be able to see an illustration of what this all looks like, how it all works. And it requires everything and anything about your financial life for us to put all together. So if you'd like to work with me, phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're in Peabody. No one's at the office today. I promise you that. We gave everybody on Sunday. Sunday, everyone gets the day off, right? Leave a message for Jody, and she will get back to you, and then she'll turn the call over to me. Trust me, I'm not farming you off on anybody else, but Jody does some initial screening stuff. But if you want to call during the week, just call the office. If I'm in the office, I'll happily talk to you then as well. Free initial consultation, that's how we do it. But we got a lot of things to talk about here on the radio today. We provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., and that's my plan again today. So let me ask you a big question. Here's the question. If someone offered you $1 million or $5,000 a month, which would you choose? Which would you choose? Someone offers you $1 million. Here's a check for $1 million or $5,000 a month. Which would you choose? Not an easy question. I mean, it goes down to remember the old Publishers Clearinghouse? You know, people, I would get these calls realistically. I would get calls from people that get the envelope. Remember we'd have with Ed McMahon's face on it, you know, you could win $120 million. And that would be that and a lump sum. Oh my God. And you show the picture of someone showing up with a check. But the question that you have to ask if you want to enter is, how would you like to receive your money? Would you like that $100 million in one big check? Or would you like it paid out over 20 years? A lot of big questions that people get asked. People actually spend some time thinking about this. First of all, what's the likelihood you're going to win? If you did win, do you think it would really matter at the end of the day? You would be so ecstatic whether you got a lump sum check or a check for 20 years. But let's now bring it down to reality. $1 million. Or $5,000 a month. We're going to talk about that today because that's a realistic question that people are faced with every single day as they approach retirement. You might say to yourself, well, I don't have $1 million. But maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a teacher and you're all complaining that I'm not going to get my Social Security. This system stinks. I'm just going to get a pension from the school. All my friends are getting $1 million. From their 401k, or they have $1.5 million in their 401k, or $800,000 in their 401k, and all I'm going to get is this lousy $5,000 a month as a pension from the teacher's retirement plan. What's better, $1 million or $5,000 a month? It's a tough question. Well, there was a story that was written in the Wall Street Journal this past week. It was written by a doctor, Benarzi, a frequent contributor to the journal. He's also a professor and co-head of behavioral decision-making at UCLA Anderson School of Management in California. I actually met Dr. Benarzi about a year and a half ago, and I attended kind of an executive retreat at UCLA, and he talked about some of his perceptions. And this guy, Dr. Benarzi, when he's talking about $5,000 a month or $1 million, he has to frame it a little bit as well. So imagine you had two choices here. You had $1 million in your 401k plan that you were going to either roll over to an IRA, or the company gave you the option of getting $5,000 a month for the rest of yours and your spouse's life. Which would you choose? Now, chances are, how many years do you think you'll live in retirement? It's a good question. How much, do you know? I know for sure that I don't know when how long I'm going to live in retirement. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when I'm going to be less active and unable to travel when I want to travel. I don't know when I will start losing my mind and not be able to recognize my own kids. Maybe that's starting now because I have five of them and can't seem to remember their names correctly. But we don't know when that's going to happen. And so as we begin to deteriorate, I know that's a horrible word to describe what's going to happen to us. But folks, that's reality. We will deteriorate. We won't spend as much money on the things we want to do. Yeah, we'll also have perhaps medical expenses could grow greater, and we need to provide for that. So there's a lot of different ways in which to look to ask yourself, should I take the $1 million or $5,000 a month? I can also bring it down. Let's roll it back a little bit. If someone were to offer you $500,000 or $2,500 a month, which would you choose? Do you think differently about that number? If I said, here's $500,000 or $2,500 a month for the rest of your life, which would you choose? Or $1 million and $5,000 a month for the rest of your life. Does it make you think a little bit different? I want you to think about this now. Well, let's talk about taxes. So when I'm offering you $1 million or $5,000 a month, when you take money out, that $5,000 a month is going to be taxable to you. Now, the $1 million under this scenario wouldn't be. However, when you want to take money out from that $1 million account, you've paid taxes on everything you took out. Is there a right answer? What are some of the things that we need to consider? What do we need to talk about? What do we need to explore in our minds to say, does this make sense? Well, the number one mistake that we all make, that the media makes for us, that the financial institutions force us to make, that the academics neglect to realize, you know what that is? It's something called life. You got to ask yourself, how committed do you want to be to a strategy? Are you prepared to commit $5,000 as you receive $5,000 as an income stream every month for the rest of your life? No inflation, no cost of living adjustment, no ability to go back in and say, hey, I need an extra $15,000 this month to buy a car or fix the boiler or whatever it might be. You get $5,000 a month. That is all. That's called living on a fixed income. How many people in today's society do you think could live on a fixed income check with no flexibility beyond that? I think that would be very difficult. I want you to think back 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Were you spending the same amount of money than you were back then? Than you are today, than what you were spending back then? How about, are you spending money on different things today than what you were spending them on 10, 20 years ago? Folks, the number one rule when it comes to getting prepared for retirement is, will you have financial flexibility? Will you have financial flexibility? And you have to fully understand what that flexibility is. Look, I see a lot of these annuity salesmen that are out there. And I'm not saying annuities are bad. I'm not saying that at all. They're sold for the right reasons. I think a lot of times they are sold, though, for the wrong reasons. Because oftentimes you'll say, okay, I have $200,000 that I'm going to put into this annuity program. And they say, well, we'll promise to pay you 5% a year or 4% a year or 6% a year, whatever it is. And that's good for the rest of your life. You'll get that forever. But you also have the ability to take out up to 10% of the value of the account without having to pay any penalties. You can take that out as often as you want. And you might think, oh, wow, so wait a second, I can take 5% out and I can take out 10% of the value of the annuity. Yes, you can. However, they neglect to really press on the however part of it. If you want to get that 5% from your annuity payout that's going to pay you for the rest of your life, forever, that is true. But the minute you start taking money over and above the 5%, you want to take out another 10% or take $20,000 or whatever the amount is out of your account, all of a sudden, you do not have the possibility. You run the risk, I should say, of running out of money. And the $5,000 a month or the 5% that you take out every month, stopping. Oftentimes, we don't ask those questions because we don't know the questions to ask. The salesperson knows the spin. They know the words. They know what the triggers are that will get you to sign on the dotted line. And I can't tell you how many times I visit with somebody in my office who has been sold an annuity product, whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing for them to purchase, but how little they understand on what the annuity does, how the advisor was paid, what the strategies are, what the strategy was to provide to you, and what the risks were that were associated with it. You don't know what the surrender charges are. You don't know what the risks are. Because all you heard was the good stuff. And that's what we do in America. We focus on sound bites. How many times have you decided that, oh, I need to drink a couple more glasses of red wine because a study just came out that said if I drink 2 glasses of wine a day, I'll be heart healthier. And then all of a sudden another study comes out that says if you drink soy milk, you know, your toenails could fall off. I mean, I'm just making up stuff here. But that's what we listen to, these studies. You have to put the studies into perspective. It could be 4 people sitting in a playroom coming up with a study. And if you can market it well and get it out on some viral network through Twitter, through Facebook, through Instagram, or feed it to the news because they're looking for sound bites all day long, that's what we're going to remember. We're going to remember that no one looks at the other stuff. You heard about the story of the person who went on United or tried to get onto United Airlines this week because they turned her away because she was wearing yoga pants. And the fury, the start of what the whole story of what happened with that. People were infuriated. How could United do this? It's ridiculous. This person's tweeting. And did anybody read the rest of the story? Did anybody read the? No. No one read the rest of the story. You actually read the rest of the story and you realize that United actually had a rationale and a basis for why the person didn't get on the plane. But no. The power of Twitter, the power of headlines, the power of sound bites and something going viral blows this whole thing up. It was on MSNBC. It was on CNBC. All these stories everywhere. Everybody knew the story. And so everybody's making up. It's like the telephone game. We read a headline. We read a little bit of the lead. And now we kind of interpret the story for what we all think it should be. And no one actually read the real story. Because if you read the real story and you found out what really, really happened, United actually had a case. So I want you to think about that. When you're buying something, when you feel like you've been sold something by a salesperson, especially when it comes to your money and personal finances, you got to be asking yourself, am I just reading the lead? Am I reading just what the sales bullet points are there? Or do I understand what the risks are? Do I understand the whole picture? Because chances are after you've bought this product, you're probably not going to see that person again. And now you're on your own. You got to figure out how this works. And that's why many people come running to me is because they don't feel like going back to the person who sold them the original product because they think to themselves, well, if I go back there, maybe they'll just try to sell me something else and I'll have to do... It's ridiculous, folks. We got to look at the big picture. I want to look at the big picture and we're going to do that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am here in the Treetop Studios overlooking the North Beverly train station. Only a few are awake this morning. But something tells me come Monday, I think there's going to be a bunch of people playing hooky. Because this Monday, opening day, Red Sox. And the weather should be okay. High of 50 night. And that's why they're doing it during the day. It's going to get a little chilly at night, but we might have some sunshine finally, and I think we're going to be okay. I think this team is going to be very, very exciting to watch this season. Talk about exciting. How's this? The Celtics are playing pretty well right now. Kind of tied atop the standings with the Cavaliers. I don't see how the Celtics can continue to go all the way to the finals with the team that they have. But you know what? It's kind of exciting to see it, and what an exciting team they are to watch. If you haven't been to a Celtics game or you haven't turned into watching a Celtics game, I'd encourage you to do that. That is a great take. They're a very exciting team. But with the Red Sox, I mean, wow, we got 162 games starting with the same record. Everyone starts 0-0 on Monday, April 3rd, and you are in for a treat. You've got a great team, and you can listen to every broadcast of the Red Sox game right here on North Shore 104.9. And I'll tell you a little secret. You know, yeah, there's that other bigger station further down on the dial that plays the Red Sox as well. You'll get better reception here. That's number one. But number two, you could actually, if you want to arbitrage this kind of thing, arbitrage is when you have a little bit of extra advantage because you know something's happening before other people know it. You're going to hear what happens in a Red Sox game about a second before you'd hear it happen on that other station. So if you got a magic system, if you can build that hyper-fast computer program and bet on the games, I'm not encouraging you. No, I shouldn't say that. This is about making money the legal way. And I'm just telling you, it's a great, you have the insights. You can call your friend, hey, I bet they're going to hit a home run. Now, if you can call that and do it in a second, that'll be great. So you'll find great reception here. And we do the Red Sox recap each and every morning following a Red Sox game. You'll hear our ad, but you'll also hear Muggs do the Red Sox recap. And I've been in studio with him a couple times when he puts this thing together. And he works with Joe Castiglione and all these other guys getting the voice feeds. And he builds a really nice Red Sox recap. So look forward to that. And go Red Sox. I think we'll have a great, great season this year. When we last left you, we were talking about this idea of whether it makes sense if someone were to offer you $1 million or $5,000 a month, which one would you take? Everybody's got a different reason for why they take it. I would, if it was me, I would look at more than just those two numbers. People ask me, well, Mark, which is the best option? And you're going to hate the answer I'm going to give you because the answer is it depends. Now, that doesn't sell books. That isn't a great soundbite. You rarely see anybody on CNBC or CNN or anywhere saying, well, it depends. That doesn't sell ads. Remember, everything that you watch on TV, all the social media sites that you go to, all of the radio stations that you listen to, frankly, they're all in business, and they make their money through advertising revenue. And the more provocative someone can be, can hold your attention longer, the more money they can generate and ask from advertisers for dollars. That's how this works. Just pulling the curtain back here, folks. That's how it works. And if you can't do that, you fail. You go out of business. The bigger challenge, though, is as you look at all of the number of cable stations these days. Remember when we were kids, there was 4, 5, 7, 38, and 56. And it's hard to believe that Dana Hersey was actually around when we can remember the five stations, because that was the face you saw on the movie loft on Channel 38. But that was it. Maybe we had Channel 2. And that was about it. And now what do we have? 9,000 channels? I mean, you can watch the news in Arabic if you want on your local news station. You can watch information from everywhere. But everybody is trying to get a piece of those advertising dollars. So who will be more provocative? Who will be different? How will people do this? So what I've learned is that you will rarely find anybody who gets on a news show to say, well, it depends. Everybody wants to take a position. So I thought it was interesting this week, and I know I'm getting off my subject again. I continue to just jump all over the place here. This week, there was a story that came out. It was on CNBC. It also appeared in our local paper, our local industry magazine called Investment News. And it was a story that came out from Raymond James, which is a brokerage firm down in Florida, and I think Tampa or somewhere down that way. They were at their national conference, and their chief economic advisor got up on the main stage talking to thousands of advisors, and he had an outlook of what the market was going to do. And he said, look, He says, my feeling is, the market is in a very, very dangerous spot right now. And I will tell you this, he said, it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. The market is just in an incredibly dangerous spot. It's oversold, overheated. There are people that are not looking at the market rationally. And he says, this market is in for one heck of a crash. And so the headline on the story is, you know, Raymond James, chief investment officer, projects enormous crash in the market. And so it's a great headline. You've got to get scared, right? So right now, start reading the story. The worst, he says, the market could drop, his worst case scenario, and of all of his modelings, is 10%. The worst case is 10%. Now, I want to put this into perspective for you of what 10% is. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is hovering around 20,000 points right now. 10% is $2,000. That brings us back to 18,000 on the Dow. Do you know where we were when the market was last at 18,000? Election day. Election day. So let's be realistic here. What do we have to fear? Now, right now, if you picked up the newspapers or watch the press, everybody's telling you about that the market hasn't seen 8 consecutive down days in a row since almost the 1940s. But the down days have been down 13 points, down 56 points. Really? Should that be something I should be concerned about? Absolutely not. We have to try to remove the noise of the media and try to focus on what's important to you. So I go back to this question of, does it make sense if someone were to offer you $1 million or $5,000 a month, which would you take? And the answer, of course, is it depends. You know why it depends? Because you have to take a look at how does this money integrate with everything else that you have. That's number one. If you can't do a comprehensive recap of what you have from assets, what you own, those are called assets, your checking account, your savings account, your bank accounts, cash value of your life insurance policy, annuities, IRAs, 401ks, personal investment accounts, your house, your boat, your jewelry, your car, all of that stuff that you own, right? If you were to die right now, somebody would inherit that, wouldn't they? So think about that. Everything that you could pass on to the next generation is something that you own. However, there are things called that you owe. It could be your mortgage. It could be credit card debt. It could be an auto loan, a student loan, whatever it might be. When you die, will your beneficiaries assume that debt? No. Your beneficiaries will get your assets after the debts have been paid off. So it's important for you to understand what do you have, what you own, less what you owe. It's very important to know that. And don't get so caught up on whether you're off on, you know, you'll go to Zillow, for instance, Zillow.com, rhymes with pillow. If you typed in your address on Zillow.com, you're going to see what's called a Zestimate. That does not say a guaranteed price. It does not say the selling price. It's called a Zestimate, which means it's an estimate. There's a lot of things that could be making your house worth more or less, but this is an estimate of what it would be. And remember, what you think your house is worth and what someone's willing to pay for it are two totally different numbers. So think about when you're looking at the Zestimate, it's generally designed for the buyer, not for the seller. So my point is that understand what all of those costs are, but don't get so hung up. If it says that your house is worth $410,000 and you go, oh, I'm sure my house is worth $450,000. Let's not change your net worth by $40,000 just to guess on the value of a piece of property. When you look at your investment statements, when you look at your bank accounts, when you look at the cash value of life insurance, your variable annuities, whatever it is, you can actually see what is the cash surrender, what is the actual market value of these investments. That's true net worth. You have to know that. But then there's another thing that people seem to neglect. They forget about the cash flow, the income statement. When you retire, what are the sources of income that are guaranteed to be coming to you? Not the money that you have set aside in assets, but what's coming to you? Could it be Social Security? Could it be a pension? Could it be an inheritance income stream that comes from a trust account? There's a lot of different ways in which you can get income. Might you work part-time for a period of time? So those are all income streams. And if you say to me, well, Mark, I know I need to spend $6,000 or $7,000 a month
I need to spend $6,000 or $7,000 a month. And between Social Security and maybe some part-time work, maybe you can pull out $30,000. Think about this. I said to you, what if you spent $7,000? What if you needed to spend $7,000 and you were already bringing in $3,000 a month from work? So that means you got to come up with $4,000 net, right? So now, if I would ask you the question, do you want $1 million or $5,000 a month? Does that make you think differently about which option you'd take? Maybe it would. Maybe it would. Because maybe you might think, well, if I take $5,000 a month, that's more than what I need. If I get all that money, maybe I'll spend it. But what if I actually had my $1 million and I don't have to take $5,000 a month? I could take $4,000 a month and let the rest grow. Might that make you think differently? Everybody's situation is different. I can't impress enough how misleading surveys and studies are to your eye. When they talk about these national studies, like for instance, right now, the national study says that the average household income in America is around $40,000. That's for a family of four. How many people do you know in your community that are surviving on a household income for four people at $40,000-something? Would you consider that's the average? Remember, at that being the average, remember, there's 150 people that are making less than that. Less. Would you consider that the average? No, but you know what? If you were to look, you can go to the town censuses, you can go to the state census, and you can look at your own town. You can look at your own city. You can look at your own community. Find out what is the average income in these various locations. What you're going to find is that more often than not, your average household income, the average household income of your town, whether it's Beverly, Danvers, Hamilton, North Andover, Peabody, doesn't matter. That average income is going to be significantly higher than the national average. Yet what we will remember is the national average number. Folks, we've talked about this book called Hillbilly Elegy, which is continuing to get a lot of press. And in fact, I just was driving my car. In Audible.com, which is the new division, I guess, of Amazon. They're actually doing a preview of the guy that reads Hillbilly Elegy. And if you want to get a sense as to what the real pulse of what this world, what this country looks like, where millions and millions of people have no idea what our lifestyle is even like, it's in between the Appalachians and the Rocky Mountains. You go in there, and it's a whole different world. Now, it might not be the world from which we've grown accustomed to, the world in which we feel comfortable with, the world where we would be intimidated. Look, I think, we profile, you might say you don't profile. Everybody profiles people. We all do it. But I will tell you, just as we might profile foreigners that come to our country, immigrants that come here to this country, you go between the Rockies and the Appalachians, and you're going to start profiling that group of people too. And folks, those are Americans. We need to put things into perspective. You need to get your financial house in order. You need to prepare the retirement that's right for you, not what the national averages say. And I want to help you do that. We do this each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to do more of that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Go on, take the money and run.
The blockbuster 2017 musical season has been announced for Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater, and you won't want to miss a show. 76 Broncos at the big parade. Join in the parade when the classic American musical The Music Man marches on stage to open the season in June. In July, you're invited to be our guest when we present the magical family production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The summer continues with one monster of a hit show.
It's alive!
Young Frankenstein, the hilarious Mel Brooks musical.
It's a Transylvania mania.
Then join us in the fall for a brand new production of the Tony Award-winning musical, Evita. The season will end with a dazzling production of 42nd Street, the Tap Dance Spectacular. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you financial advice in a language you can understand. And here's a topic. I thought I'd bring up something today that I've asked, had this question asked of me twice this past week. And so maybe I thought I'd walk you through the idea of this concept. The idea of this concept is converting an IRA to a Roth IRA. A couple people have come to me. I'm going to incorporate the story of someone that I shared a few months ago that come to us as well. He was, the first thing that happened was he came to us. He was the CFO of a company and he was about to retire. He made, I don't know, $150,000, $160,000 as an income. He was a CFO of a not-for-profit. Made $150,000, $160,000. He had accumulated about $600,000 personally. He had about $50,000 in the bank, and he and his wife were going to collect around $30,000 in Social Security income. And he thought he was in a good enough shape to retire. Clearly, he wasn't at that kind of money. I mean, he wasn't saving much. He did also have a 401k, and I forgot to say this. He had a 401k of $900,000. So he had $1.5 million total investment assets, but he was making $150,000 a year, and he spent every nickel of it. So he said to me, well, the way that I'm going to avoid this, be able to do this, he says, because I'm a CFO, I understand all this stuff. He says, I know that $900,000 that I have in my 401k is taxable if I take money out. He said, so what I thought I would do is I'm just going to take that $900,000, convert it to a Roth, and now I'll have $900,000 in free money to take out. And I thought to myself, you're a CFO? Well, I guess, you know, CFOs do a lot of different things. I mean, you're running the corporate books, that's one thing. But CFO and personal financial advice don't necessarily follow, don't really talk to each other very much. When you're the CFO, when you're a head analyst, when you're in charge of finances at a corporation, that might work on the balance sheet and whatever, how you're thinking about how you run your business. But dealing with IRAs and 401ks and Roth IRAs and personal accounts, it's a whole different world. There's a different set of tax rates. There's a different set of rules. So I had to enlighten him. And I said, well, if you want to take that $900,000 and convert it to a Roth, you're going to have to pay tax on that $900,000. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it won't be too much. I said, you're going to have $900,000 added to your income, of which you're making $150,000 now. So call it, you'll show $1 million of income. You'll probably spend $40,000, 40% of that at least, that you're going to have to send to the government. So if you convert it, if you want to convert that $900,000 to a Roth, you're going to come up with about $400,000 in tax money. Oh, no, I won't. That's not much. I'm telling you, that's where it's going to come. He says, so I'll take it out of the IRA. Take it out of the IRA. If you take it out of the IRA, you pay tax on it again. You're not going to get much money. And he wasn't following this. So he ended up not hiring us because he didn't think I knew what I was talking about. It's okay. I want to work with people that are willing to, recognize what they don't know. And let me tell you, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. When it comes to plumbing, when it comes to carpentry, when it comes to any of that stuff, I will hire you in a second. I have a difficult enough time hanging a picture on the wall. But we had a person come in this past week who said, I'm retiring out of a big company. He said, I have $600,000 in my 401k plan. And I'm retiring at age 62 because I guess there's a couple of the companies out here that are offering early retirement packages. I retire at 62, but I don't want to take my Social Security until 67 or perhaps even age 70. But I'm thinking that if I took my IRA, my $600,000 401k plan, and rolled it to an IRA, and then converted it to a Roth, I might be able, that might work. But I said, $600,000 converting to a Roth in 1 year, that's a lot of money. And he said to me, no, my thought was, what if I do it over 5 years? Which was kind of interesting. Think about that. What if you could take one-fifth of $600,000? One-fifth, so that's like, can't even do my math right now. But one-fifth of $600,000, call it $100,000+. And he converts that over the next 5 years. So now he only pays tax on the $100,000 of income. And because he has very little other income, because he's not employed with the company anymore, and he has not starting Social Security, his income level would be at the same level where it was before. His tax rate would be less, and he can do that over 5 or 6 years. It was an interesting thought. See, converting to a Roth can make sense for some, but it does not make sense for all. And understand, you need to understand all of the provisions, all of the pieces, all of the features of a Roth and an IRA and how they incorporate into your life before ever making that decision. Because once you make it, you can't go back, folks. That's a big decision, and that tax bill is huge if you're not prepared for it and if you don't do it properly. Look, I'm a big fan of Roth 401ks. If you're under the age of 50, and you're making under $200,000 a year, I would encourage you to make all of your employee contributions into your Roth 401k. If your company doesn't offer it, ask them to offer it. All it is a change in the provision of the 401k plan. That's because all of your employee match money, all of your employer profit sharing contributions, they're going to go into what's called the traditional 401k. But imagine if you could retire. And let's say you retired with $500,000 in your 401k. Imagine if half of that $500,000 could be pulled out tax-free. And the other half would be taxable. It's one of the dangers that we see with many people who are retiring today is they did a great job putting money into their 401k. They've built it up. It is their largest asset. But they have no money in cash. They have no money in personal investments. They have 401k. They have a Social Security check, and then they have this giant 401k plan. And so that if they need 20 grand or 30 grand for something, they have to dip into the 401k to get it, but have to pay tax on the 20 or 30 grand. So sometimes you have to take out $40,000 to get $30,000. If you had money in the bank or money in a personal investment account and you needed $40,000, would all of that distribution be taxable? No, not at all. And in fact, if the money was in the bank and you said, Mark, I want to take $15,000 out of my bank account, not only is it not reportable, there's nothing to pay tax on. You need to have a balance. So that's why I'm encouraging people who are younger, certainly under the age of 50, and definitely if you're 20s and 30s, the only contributions you should be making right now is into your Roth 401k, not into your regular 401k plan. Yeah, it might cost you a little bit more tax money today, but trust me, the compounding of what goes on with all of that money being in that Roth 401k is so well worth it. You got to do it. So we go back to that big question again. If someone were to offer you $1 million or $5,000 a month, which would you take? That's not easy. Man, it's not easy because think about this. Do you think, remember that $5,000 guaranteed, which it publishes Clearinghouse, Mega Millions, whatever it is that you might have won, or perhaps it was through work. $5,000 for the rest of your life. Is that $5,000 check going up? Nope. Now remember, when you get that $5,000 check, it's not free. It's taxable. You got to pay taxes on it. So maybe you net 4 out of the 5. But 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 30 years from now, how big is that $5,000 check looking now? Do you think the cost of goods are going up? Of course they are. I think back to the folks. I see some people that are collecting a check for $1,500 from Social Security, $1,500 a month. And they were eligible for what was called the maximum amount you could get out of Social Security back when they retired. Today, the maximum amount you get out of Social Security full retirement age is about $2,800 a month. But back then, it was $1,700 or $1,800. Folks, the price of goods are going up. And you know what? They haven't gone up that much in the past 10 years. Inflation has been relatively flat. But inflation's coming. Inflation is coming. I mean, you think about it. How much has the price of milk fluctuated over the past 10 years? We've gotten pretty comfortable with that. Things have moved up ever so slightly over the past 10 years. What does it cost to go out for lunch? It used to be maybe $5 or $6. Maybe it's $7 or $8, maybe $9 now. But that's over 10 years. That's a 50% increase over the past 10 years. That's a 5% increase on food, but you have not seen that on other things. You've seen it on college costs, but not on the cost of groceries, tickets to the movies, books, clothes. It seems like clothes prices continue to go down. I mean, you walk into Joseph A. Bank right now, and I go into them, I said, what's free today? If you've ever walked into Joseph A. Bank, and I've shopped there before, it's one of these places where if you go to buy something, you feel like you're getting ripped off anyways, because tomorrow you're going to go see another ad for a sale that's even cheaper from the ad that they had before. And I love it when Macy's says, biggest sale of the season, one time only, our biggest sale of the season. Remember, seasons happen four times a year. Seasons happen four times a year because in 3 months there'll be another season, for sure of it. And it's a one-time only sale, one time only today. You got to read through all of the red. You got to understand what's going on. Let's be realists. Let's be realistic about what we're doing with our personal financial planning and our investment needs. Folks, you got to be smart. And you can't rely on your neighbors, friends, and relatives on what's right for you. That is the absolute biggest mistake that you will ever, ever make. Figure out what works for you. If I had my druthers, in many cases, many of the people that I would see, they would say, I would likely see them take the $1 million and not take the $5,000 a month. But there are many others that would prefer the guaranteed check, even though it would never grow with inflation. You know why they'd prefer that guaranteed check? Because they don't trust themselves. They feel like, well, if I had all this money, what if my kids needed a few extra bucks? Or what if I wanted to get the upgrade upgrade program on a car purchase that I wanted? If you had $5,000 a month, you know you have a budget to live within. And if you have the propensity to spend or the desire that you're going to have a propensity to spend more than you should, then perhaps the $1 million doesn't make sense. And if the $1 million is all that you own rather than that $5,000, that's another thing to consider. Lots of flexibility. You want to have flexibility in retirement, but some people want fixed income. Look, we've had somebody call the office this week that she said, Mark, she says, I know you've got $1 million of my money sitting in cash right now because I didn't want to put money into the market. I'm scared and I'm worried. And I think Trump is going to blow everything up. And I think stocks are going to be bad and bonds are going to be bad. But I don't want to get 0% or 0.5% of my money. What can you suggest? Well, what would you suggest to someone? Everyone's asking that question. What can I get that doesn't get impacted by the stock market, doesn't get impacted by the bond market, and pays better than what's at the bank? If someone comes up with that product, there would be a line out the door right now, folks. Anybody that tells you they have it is some manufactured product to get you to buy something right now, but they haven't told you all of the risks. Sure, could I get you guaranteed 3% right now? Absolutely, I could. But how'd you like it where your hands are tied for 15 years and you can't get out? Would you like that? No, but maybe someone only says, well, I can get guaranteed 3%. Well, let me ask you this. 5 years from now, do you think interest rates will be higher than where they are today? Yes, I believe that. So what if that new product 3 years out, you could get a guaranteed 5% rather than 3%. You say, well, I want the 5%. And I say, sorry, you bought a product that tied your hands for 15 years. Do you want that hanging over you? No, not at all. Folks, there is not one last great investment. You need to figure out what works best for you, and we're going to help you do that. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to the final segment of Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Now, this is not the last and final segment. It's the final segment of today. That's all. The next time you hear me, hopefully the Red Sox will still remain undefeated. But who knows? They start first pitch opening day is Monday, tomorrow. If you go into the game, have a great time. It looks like it should be a reasonable day. It'll be a little bit crisp out there, but with the sun out, I think you'll really, really enjoy the day tomorrow. We got a great week coming up, and we'll be back here, of course, next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We're located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Very easy to find right near the North Shore Mall. We provide financial planning and investment advice to individuals, families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. We know that life, financial life, is a journey. And there are lots of twists and turns along the way. And there's a lot of different stories and websites and places you can go to try to guide you along that path. But what I've learned over my almost 27 years in this business, and our firm's been around almost 50 years, is nobody actually follows that green line that Fidelity was so famous for. Everybody wanted to follow the green line, stay on the green line. Do you know how hard it is? Let me ask you something. How many times have you gone on a diet and stayed on it for 30 years? Nobody does it, right? Financial planning requires change throughout one's life. It requires one to check in with an independent, objective voice, preferably a certified financial planner, who will take a look at everything in your financial life and place your interests first, always. That's the kind of advice we try to provide here on the radio each and every Sunday morning. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman, and I'd love to meet with you. I mean, we do meet with so many of our listeners. I talk to you on the phone, we exchange emails, and many of you schedule initial consultations at my office. If what you hear on the radio and my style, my approach is something that you say, you know what, this could work for us, I would love the opportunity to meet with you. Phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or you know what, you want to drop me a personal email? It's real easy to get in touch with me. It's Mark, M-A-R-C, not M-A-R-K, Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. And of course, so many of you have loved receiving our free weekly newsletter. It lands in your inbox through your email every Friday at 10:30. I haven't counted the number of issues we've put out, but I'm going to imagine it's over 500 because we started March of 2009. My newsletter isn't about what's going on in the market. Not at all. What my newsletter is about is providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And it could be anything from purchasing a car, how to purchase a car, how to buy a home, what to know about long-term care or nursing home policies, what to know about investments, how to try to be generous or less generous with your kids. It could be all sorts of different stories. You want to get that newsletter? Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. You'll go to the bottom of the website, click on the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. It's really that easy. You'll just type in your email address, hit send, and boom, now you're getting my newsletter. I promise you this, I won't call you. No, I mean, many of these advisors and many of these firms, they use these as marketing databases so that they can invite you to a free dinner somewhere, or they can call you for a free initial appointment. I've been doing this a long time. We don't have to do that. Look, many people that are getting started, they really do. And that's the way they build business. That's called sales. Our business is more about relationships these days. Yes, you're going to buy something. If you work with us, you will buy a relationship at my office. That's what you're going to be buying. But it's a relationship that goes far beyond owning an investment portfolio or deciding which fund to own or which fund to sell. It's getting a clear picture of your overall financial life. And we try to illustrate what that looks like right here on the radio. We do. So more stuff to talk about. What should we talk about next? I mean, we've been talking about so many things on the radio. We had this big question. If you were given the opportunity to take $1 million or $5,000 a month, which would you choose? And so we were talking about it here in the studio. And, you know, one idea I came up with was maybe I'd take $1 million, but I'd put half of it in the market and half of it in cash, something safe. That's an approach. That's an asset allocation decision that you have to make. But it really comes down to not even about how you're going to invest the money, which would work for you. Do you want to get a guaranteed $5,000 for the rest of yours and your spouse's life, or hold $1 million for which you have control of how that money's invested? You have control as to how that money is distributed. If you want more or less money, you get to pick and choose when you take the money. Or live in a world where it says, here's your check. You're going to know for the rest of your life, I'm on a fixed income. It's $5,000 a month. That's what it was, right? Back then, that's what your grandparents lived on. They talked about their fixed income. I believe that that is going to be a dangerous way to approach life for many people who live on the fringes. When I say the fringes, on the coast. Because inside of that area between the Rockies and the Appalachians, if you were to go there, 9 times out of 10, they're taking the pension because they know they will blow the $1 million. Read the book, Hillbilly Elegy. I keep forgetting the guy who wrote it, but it is a national bestseller. And doesn't matter who wrote it. You'll find it. Hillbilly Elegy. I've read the book, and you are going to, whether you like the fact that Trump won or not, when you read Hillbilly Elegy, you're going to understand, whether you like that or not, the reason why Trump won the election. We have a total disconnect, those of us that live on the East Coast and those of us who live on the West Coast. We have an absolute total blind spot, total disconnect to what the vast majority of this country lives like. And when your eyes are open to it, you could get all mad and say, well, they need to change. They need to change. And I keep telling you this. We do this even in personal finance. When we run into a problem, we blame it on the government. We blame it on interest rates. We blame it on our employer. I don't get a big enough raise. My employer doesn't give enough. My 401k stinks. It doesn't make enough money. Or the medical costs, they're just too expensive. Or property taxes. Well, I got to go jump and stand around and yell at my mayor to lower property taxes. Folks, those are things you can't control. Just get over it. You can't. You want to stand in a rally and have a picket line and do all that stuff. The likelihood of you making a difference in doing that is rare. And think about the opportunity cost of what you have just wasted by going to these rallies, by going to show your presence and holding up your signs. Change what you can. Now, if you feel like you're making a change by going to these rallies, all the power to you. Go for it. But stop blaming other people, will you? The person that we need to blame for getting our financial house in order, for getting our spending levels down, for being able to meet what we need to cover our financial life, is the person that you wake up and brush your teeth in front of every single morning. It's you. But the last thing we want to do is admit it. Our kids don't want to admit it. We don't want to admit it. And we have to start doing that, taking and holding ourselves accountable. What kind of examples are we setting for our own children when they see us building credit card debt? When they see us buying stuff for our kids that they want that we simply just can't afford in our household. But we think it's important to do that because we're worried about what will the kids think? What will our kids' kids think? Folks, there was a story that came out following the Final Four. Some of these college coaches, they come up with some of the greatest press conferences after the games. And I forget which coach came up and said that. He says, you know, everybody runs around saying, these kids these days, they're lazy, they're disrespectful. They don't. It's the kids these days. And he says, you know what the problem is? The reality is, it's the parents. The parents are the ones that are to blame for our kids being disrespectful, for our kids being lazy, for our kids being inattentive and unresourceful, for our kids not being able to cut the lawn or shovel a driveway or doing some work around the house. That's not the kid's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. It's our fault as parents. And that hurts sometimes. We just want to blame everything on anybody. And you might say, well, what does this have to do with money? It has everything to do with money. It sets the standard. What kind of lessons, what kind of a parent, what kind of experiences do we want to show our kids? Do we want to be in that spot? Do we want to show our kids that we are being financially, fiscally responsible with our money when we get a job? We get a job and, you know, sometimes you need to bite your tongue sometimes and do what the boss asks rather than tweet about it and run the risk of getting fired or saying, well, I don't care if I get fired. It's about the principle of it. Is it really? Maybe when you're a teenager, but a parent, it's your responsibility to give your kids these lessons. I'll tell you a horrible story. Well, here's that came back to me just this past week. I get this bill from a hospital in Rhode Island. Hospital, the bill is for, well, the gross bill was for $1,223 for my daughter, Alana. So I call Alana. She's down at URI. I said, Alana, did you go to the hospital on the 14th or 16th of February, whatever the date was? Well, yeah, I thought I had a urinary tract infection. I said, okay, did you go to the health center? Well, no, they weren't open because it was a snowstorm. I said, did you think about the walk-in clinics? Well, they weren't open either, but I knew a hospital would be open. And so what Alana did was she got in the car, because there was a snowstorm, of course. She figured it was okay, though, to drive to the hospital to check herself into an emergency room because she thought she had a urinary tract infection. And I said, Alana, I said, are you aware that the bill? I said, first of all, I said, did they give you any medicine? She says, yeah, they gave me a pill. I said, did you know what that pill cost? 53 cents. It was itemized right there on the bill. I said, did they take any lab work? Yep. I said, well, yeah, because the lab work there says $124. I said, Alana, it was $1,000, a little more than that, for you to walk into the emergency room. And she starts crying. She says, oh, Daddy, I feel so bad. She says, I'll pay for it. I said, well, first of all, there is insurance that's in place. Insurance covered about half of that. So I still have a bill for $600. And she's all upset and crying about this. And she says, well, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. I said, look, we're going to cover the costs. But the point of the matter is that we as parents need to let our children know the ancillary costs that go on in our lives that they need to be aware of. Because had Alana known, look, if it was an emergency, I said, that's what the emergency room was there for. Emergency, not because I'm not feeling so well today. If you can hang out, that's what we have medicine for. That's what we have our drugstores for, to try to stretch it out a little bit so that you can see your primary care physician. But we need to instruct our children about that. As parents, when they go off to college, they need to know what things are going to cost and when they how to make smarter decisions. So I'm not telling my daughter what she did was wrong. That's what she learned, a lesson from it. And I thought that was the best part of this whole thing, was that she learned a lesson from it. It wasn't about the money. But if we're not talking to our children about the lessons that we can teach them because of the mistakes that they make, then we are failing them as parents. If we just go ahead and pay the bill and not mention it or whatever, that's our fault. That's our fault. When a kid gets a bad grade on a test and you say, well, go back to your teacher, see if she can let you retake it. If my kid does poorly on a test, I say, well, that was your mistake. You should have studied harder. And these teachers that are allowing kids to retake a test, they are the fools. They are screwing this whole thing up. We got to set some standards, some new rules, some new guidelines. And I understand some kids need extra help, and that's fine. If the kids need extra help for the test, fine, they get it for the test. And if they didn't do well, that's not our problem anymore. We learn from it, and we learn from it so we can do better the next time. We've got to be parents. We can't just be our kids' friends. That's my message to you. That's how we'll close out things today. I got to get out of here and make room for Aurelia Nelson. I want to thank you for joining us. I'll be back next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.